Life, well, it's a journey, and we're all at different places along that journey. And no matter who you are or how you're wired on the inside, you can't travel that road alone. Many people feel as though they are, and that's a tragedy, because when God is with you, you're never alone. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and welcome again to the program as we take another look at God from a different perspective. Well, here we are towards the end of yet another week, and already the year's slipping by so quickly, each one of us on life's journey. And it is a journey, isn't it? Sometimes it feels like it's all uphill. Other times it's a bit easier. Sometimes we feel like we're wandering through a swamp. Other times we're up on the mountaintops. Life is a journey. Remember once when I was training to be an officer in the Australian Army, we went on a survival exercise. It lasted for a good many days, and for most of that time, we didn't have too much to eat. We were very hungry. And to make things a lot worse, we would receive instructions over the radio to march to this particular grid reference on the map today. That's where they'd promised they'd have food waiting for us. And so we'd march like 35, 40, sometimes 50 kilometres in a day over mountains and through dense jungle with our packs on our backs, weakened by a lack of food. And then when we arrived there and radioed in, they'd tell us, oh, well, they couldn't get the food through. March to this other grid reference, another 50 kilometres over that other hill over there, almost back to where we started from. This went on for days and days. When it rained and we were wet and cold, it was pretty demoralising, I have to tell you. But there was one thing that made it bearable. We were a small group, five of us, and having each other around kept our spirits up. The thing that made it bearable was that none of us was alone. Too often in life, it feels like we're alone. We can be surrounded by lots of people at work, at home sometimes, and yet we can still feel as though we're completely alone. There are a few reasons it happens that way. Sometimes, actually, we are alone. Some people live on their own and don't have any real friends or family around them. Whether or not they go to work, they can actually, in a very real sense, be desperately lonely. Other times, we have people around in our lives, friends, work colleagues, husbands, wives, family, but there's no emotional connection. The thing that stops us from feeling alone is that we're connected with someone else at a deep emotional level. There's someone that understands, someone that cares, someone that's here for us. And if we don't have that, then we feel alone. And sometimes there are people there who want to understand and care and be there for us, but we're hurting so badly that we can't accept their love. The deeper a hurt is, the more isolated we feel. People who are in their last stages of life often experience that. Soon, they're going to be separated from their loved ones. Perhaps they're lying in a hospital bed and they feel completely alone on this journey. I remember when we were out in that survival exercise, climbing up some steep slopes through prickly lantana, so hungry that we'd stop being hungry, we just wanted to give up. And then someone would crack a joke, or someone would put a hand on another guy's shoulder and say, come on, it's only an exercise, it'll be over in a few days. And just that connectedness, just that simply being together is what kept us going. We need that. And whilst I'm a person who naturally doesn't mind being on their own, and I naturally drive through things and I stay focused on the end game, that's just who I am, I need that too. It doesn't matter who we are, what our personality type is, we can't live life alone. Throughout this week on the program, we've been looking at some of the different names used for God throughout the Bible. And whilst you and I are probably quite happy with the one name that we've been given, many names are given to the one living God in His Word, the Bible, because through those names, He reveals Himself to us. He speaks to us. He tells us who He is and what He's like. And the whole point of looking at these different names during the course of this week and next week too is to connect us, you and me, with the reality of who God is right in the middle of where we are right at the moment on our journey, to draw close to Him, to know Him, so that we're ready for the next part of our journey. Too often, I think, we talk about God or we learn about God. Every now and then you meet someone who has something, and you just know from the radiance on their face and the look in their eyes and the passion in their voice, you meet this someone who's been in the presence of God, someone who lives in God, and you think to yourself, I want what that person's got. And that thing, that deep life knowledge of God, that's not just for Mr. or Mrs. Super Christian. It's not for the spiritual elite. It's for everyone, for every ordinary person like you and me who puts their trust in Jesus. And so today we're going to look at one of the names of God, Emmanuel. It comes first and foremost in a prophecy from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus centuries before it even happened. Have a listen, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son, and she shall name him Emmanuel. Well, what does Emmanuel mean? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us on our journey. Up until that point, the odd king or prophet had been in a deep relationship with God. But when Jesus came, then, all of a sudden, God was with us. He walked the dusty roads. He sat in the synagogues and in the marketplace and taught. He healed people. All of a sudden, people could see firsthand what God was like. John says this in his Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word, meaning Jesus, became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. It wasn't just the prophets telling people who God was or what God had to say. It was no longer mere words, but now the people could see God for themselves because the Son of God had been born, Emmanuel. God is with us. In the Old Testament, God traveled with his people through the Exodus, through the wilderness for 40 years, and his presence was in the tabernacle, the temple. Here, John says, and the Word became flesh, and literally, he says, and tabernacled among us. He came to dwell in our midst. And on that journey, John writes, we have seen God's glory with our own eyes. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And then Jesus ascended into heaven. He left behind his Holy Spirit, the very presence of God in us. My friend, God is with us on our journey. We can be completely without any other human relationship and yet know God with a joy and a reality that causes his glory to fill our hearts, to shine through our faces, to sparkle in our eyes, to fill our voices with his being. And when we believe his word over our circumstances, when we trust in what God says, when we put our faith in Emmanuel, the God who is with us, then we will know in our own experience that God is, in fact, in this place. We need faith. Without faith, it's impossible to believe God. For whoever would approach him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Why haven't some of us experienced this blessed assurance of the very presence of the living God? Because we haven't believed in him. We haven't stepped up to the plate and said, you know something, God, I believe what your word says. I believe that you are indeed my Emmanuel. I believe that you are with me because my faith is in Jesus, your Son, Emmanuel. Before I go, I'd just like to remind you that if you have a prayer need, we would love to pray for you. Listen, the only sort of prayer that the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. Just let that sink in. The only sort of prayer the Bible teaches about is the sort that has powerful results. So if you'd like us to pray with you, in fact, if you'd like our whole prayer community to pray with you, stop by online at powerfulprayer.org to share your prayer request. It's completely confidential. Your name won't be displayed. And in fact, while you're there, perhaps you could pray for one or two others and leave them an encouraging word. The Bible says that the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. So let us pray for you and with you. And let's just see what God does, how he intervenes, how he chooses to bless you. That web address again is powerfulprayer.org. I'm Bernie Dimet. Catch you again, same time Monday, with a different perspective.